The portion of God's Word that we read this morning is Matthew 28. Matthew chapter 28. This in connection with Lord's Day 26 and the beginning of Lord's Day 27 on the sacrament of baptism, especially the last couple of verses of the chapter. We'll read the entire chapter this morning. The Word of God at Matthew 28. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly, and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, there shall ye see him, lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail! And they came and held him by the feet, and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ear, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. We read the Word of God that far. It's on the basis of Matthew 28, especially the last couple of verses, and in accordance with all of God's Word, that we have the instruction of the Catechism in Lord's Days 26 and 27. This morning we take together questions and answers 69 through 73, and then, God willing, next week, Sunday morning, we'll have a sermon on that 74th question having to do with the baptism of infants in particular. So this morning, 69 through 73. Question 69 asks, How art thou admonished and assured by holy baptism that the one sacrifice of Christ upon the cross is of real advantage to thee? Thus, that Christ appointed this external washing with water, adding thereto this promise, that I am as certainly washed by His blood and Spirit from all the pollution of my soul, that is, from all my sins, as I am washed externally with water, by which the filthiness of the body is commonly washed away. Question 70 asks, What is it to be washed with the blood and Spirit of Christ? It is to receive of God the remission of sins freely. For the sake of Christ's blood, which He shed for us by His sacrifice upon the cross, and also to be renewed by the Holy Ghost and sanctified to be members of Christ, so that we may more and more die unto sin and lead holy and unblameable lives. Question 71, where has Christ promised us that He will as certainly wash us by His blood and Spirit as we are washed with the water of baptism? In the institution of baptism, which is thus expressed, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." This promise is also repeated where the Scripture calls baptism the washing of regeneration and the washing away of sins. Question 72, is then the external baptism with water the washing away of sin itself? Not at all, for the blood of Jesus Christ only and the Holy Ghost cleanse us from all sin. Question 73, why then doth the Holy Ghost call baptism the washing of regeneration and the washing away of sins? God speaks thus not without great cause, to wit, not only thereby to teach us that, as the filth of the body is purged away by water, so our sins are removed by the blood and Spirit of Jesus Christ, but especially that by this divine pledge and sign, He may assure us that we are spiritually cleansed from all our sins as really as we are externally washed with water. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, when you reflect back on your life, there are certainly some events that stand out as having special significance. You look back on your life and concerning a few things you say, that was an important thing that took place in my life, filled with meaning. There's all kinds of examples of that. For example, your marriage, the day that you married your spouse, or the day that your children were born, or when you got a particular job that you really wanted, or a promotion in your job. Or the day that you made confession of faith before the church and the world. Or the day that you graduated from college or from high school or from junior high. All sorts of things. When we look back on them, we say, that was an important event in my life. If someone were to ask you, what were the top four or five things that have taken place in your life? Would you say this? I was baptized in the Church of Jesus Christ. We don't often think of our baptism as an especially important event in our lives. We don't often reflect on the fact that I was baptized in Christ's church. We should, though. We should because baptism is very, very important. And the fact that you and I are baptized still to this day means a lot for us. This past week was Reformation Day, or in this past week was Reformation Day, October 31. Makes you think, of course, of Martin Luther. It's said of Martin Luther that throughout his life, when things were going particularly hard for him, when he was assaulted by the devil in a special way, or when he doubted his own salvation, what Martin Luther at those times would say was this. He'd put his hand on his forehead and he would say, I am baptized. I am baptized. He would do that because his baptism was important to him. And he understood the significance and the power of his baptism. So that when he would say that to himself, I am baptized, he would receive strength in the face of the devil and he would receive assurance in the face of his own doubt. People of God, our baptism is important. Now understand that everything that we say this morning does not take away in any way from what we said last week Sunday morning. Last week Sunday morning, the gist of the sermon was about the preaching of the gospel. And the preaching of the gospel as the main way in which God works faith in our hearts. Everything we say today doesn't take away from the primacy of the preaching. But at the same time, we say this morning, the sacrament of baptism is important. It's filled with significance. It's filled with meaning. And this too, it's filled with power. There is power in the sacraments. At the moment they are baptized, but really all our lives long. But we will only understand that if we understand the sacrament itself. And that's the hope of the sermon this morning, that we walk away this morning understanding the meaning and significance of the sacrament of baptism. As I said before, we read from the Heidelberg Catechism. This morning we take this larger section, and then next week, the Lord willing, we'll zero in on the sacrament as it relates to infants and why we baptize infants. So this morning, we take as our theme the sacrament of baptism. We notice in the first place what, in the second place how, and then last to what end. Obviously, in the Old Testament, the saints were not baptized. The Old Testament equivalent of baptism is circumcision. We'll talk more about circumcision next week when we talk about infants. But not to say that when the New Testament came around and the Lord Jesus Christ instituted the sacrament of baptism, the people were not altogether unfamiliar with the idea of baptism. In the Old Testament, there were several ceremonial washings, cleansings that had significance. So that when the New Testament rolled around and John the Baptist began to baptize, really John is somewhat of a transition, kind of preparing the people for this institution of baptism. When that came around, the people were not totally unfamiliar with this type of thing. They had these washings in the Old Testament. But the baptism, the sacrament, was instituted officially with what we read in Matthew chapter 28. Jesus Christ Himself instituted the sacrament of baptism when He said these words at the very end of His life, before He ascended into heaven, after He arose from the dead, "Go therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." And then we read right after this, for example, at the event of Pentecost, this being carried out, 3,000 souls baptized right after Pentecost. And then you read throughout the rest of the New Testament, in Acts and in the epistles, examples of baptism. You ask the simple question, why as a church do we baptize? And apart from the meaning and the significance of baptism, really the answer to that question is simply this. Christ commands us to baptize. We baptize because God tells us to baptize in the church. But not without reason. God has a reason for everything He does in the church. And that certainly is the case with this sacrament of baptism. There is all sorts of meaning and significance to this sacrament. And that's what we look at this morning. The sacrament, really when it comes down to it, is very, very simple. The symbolism of the sacrament is simple. Really for both of the sacraments is this the case. Baptism and the Lord's Supper. I'm always struck by that when I teach catechism to the youngest classes. For right now, I have the second and third graders. And we just got done with John the Baptist and the baptism of Jesus. I can talk to second and third graders about baptism and the symbolism of baptism. And they understand it. Really, on the surface, it's simple. And God, I believe, did that deliberately. It's not shrouded with secrecy and a mystery about what is going on here. You see baptism and we can understand the basic symbolism of baptism. And the catechism sets it forth simply as well. What's the basic idea of baptism? Just as water on a body washes away the filth of dirt, so also does the blood of Jesus Christ wash away the filth of sin and guilt. There you have it. Right there. The meaning, the symbolism of baptism. That comes especially from the word itself. Baptism literally refers to a dipping in, or a cleansing, or a washing. I was struck by that in preparing this sermon, in these questions and answers, 69 through 73. What's the one word that you read over and over again? It's washing, or a form of that word. In every question and answer, 69 through 73, you can find that word, or a form of the word washing. Add them all together, and no less than 12 times, I believe, you read that in these questions and answers. When we think of baptism, that's what we have to think of. Washing. Just as water washes away dirt, so also does the blood of Jesus Christ wash away our sins. Question and answer 69 really sets forth this basic meaning. How art thou admonished and assured by baptism that the one sacrifice of Christ is of real advantage to thee? And the answer is that Christ appointed this external washing with water with this promise that I am as certainly washed by His blood and Spirit from all the pollution of my soul, that is, from my sins, as I am externally washed with water. Generally speaking, then, the sacrament of baptism in its meaning and significance is simple. But there is more to it. There is deep significance. It is, at the same time, very profound. And that's what the Catechism goes on to delve into in the next questions and answers, especially question and answer 70. 69 sets it forth very simply. It speaks of the washing by the blood and Spirit of Christ Himself. That's the middle of 69. Certainly washed by His blood and Spirit. That's the simple explanation. But then 70 takes that phrase from 69, washed by His blood and Spirit, and explains it more fully. Question 70, what is it to be washed with the blood and Spirit of Christ? Pulls that from 69 and now explains it more fully. What I'm saying is that there is more to it. We can delve more deeply into the meaning and significance of baptism. To do that, we can make the point that when we are baptized in the name of the Triune God. That's the institution of baptism as we read it in Matthew 28. Go into all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. More literally, actually, it's baptized into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Not simply in, but into. And that draws our attention to a union, a fellowship, a communion. That's what baptism is all about, being brought into the family of God. But right now we see that it's baptism in the name of the Triune God. And when we see that, then we learn that each of the persons of the Trinity play a part in baptism. So that when a baptism takes place, and when we think about our own baptism, we can call our attention to each of the persons of the Trinity and a particular work that they do and that is pictured in the sacrament of baptism. That's what question and answer 70 is doing with two of the persons of the Trinity. The first part of the answer to question 70 talks about Christ, the Son, the second person. The second part of the answer to question 70 talks about the Holy Spirit and His part in the sacrament of baptism. We can back up and first talk about the Father. And we know very well the form for the administration of the sacrament of baptism and what the form says about this. Holy baptism witness and sealeth unto us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. That's the main simple statement. But then it delves into it. Therefore we are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And then the Catechism doesn't mention this point, but we can this morning. For when we are baptized in the name of the Father, God the Father witnesseth and sealeth unto us that He doth make an eternal covenant of grace with us, adopts us for His children and heirs, and therefore will provide us with every good thing and avert all evil or turn it to our profit. People of God, when we think about baptism, we often think about a father. Fathers have an important role in baptism. Father, as the head of the home, exercises his right to have his child baptized by going to the consistory room and requesting that. Father presents the child for baptism on the morning or in the day when the sacrament is administered. But when we think about baptism, we shouldn't first of all think about a father of this earth, but we should think about our heavenly Father. When we see a baptism, when we think about our own baptism, our attention must be brought to God the Father and what He does and what is pictured in this sacrament. He makes us His children. He promises us to provide us with every good thing, care for us in all of our needs and wants. Beloved, when you go through a difficult time, remember this. I am baptized in the name of the Father. And that means something for me. That means that He loves me, that He cares for me, and that He will turn everything, no matter what the situation is, to my profit. We can read this form quickly, without thinking. Always a danger for us. Consciously, we always have to tell ourselves when we read these forms, help me to listen. Help me to take in what I am reading. Don't forget that with respect to God the Father. Beautiful truths concerning the Son as well. Baptized in the name of the Son. And that's the first part of the answer to question 70. To be washed with the blood and Spirit of Christ is to receive of God the remission of sins freely for the sake of Christ's blood, which He shed for us by His sacrifice upon the cross. Baptism has everything to do with the death of Jesus Christ. We read in Romans 6, for example, verse 3, Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? When we're baptized into the death of Jesus Christ. To put it differently, we were with Jesus Christ when He died. We were with Him because Jesus Christ had everything about us on Himself. All of our sins were on the Lord Jesus Christ when He died on that cross. Baptism has everything to do with the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what's pictured in baptism is His death and how we were with Him in His death and how He took upon Himself all of our sins. Question 69 asks, How art thou admonished and assured? This is the assurance part, people of God. the assurance that all of our sins are forgiven us for the sake of Christ's blood shed on Calvary's cross? Do you doubt that salvation is for you? Do you doubt that the forgiveness of sins is for you? As Martin Luther sometimes would, say to yourself, I am baptized in the name of the Son. And what that means for me is that His blood shed on Calvary's cross covers my sins. I was baptized into His death. Baptized also in the name of the Holy Spirit, and beautiful truths concerning the Spirit in this regard as well. And that's the second part of the answer to question 70. And also it says, to be renewed by the Holy Ghost and sanctified to be members of Christ, that so we may more and more die unto sin and lead holy and unblameable lives. That really also is the point of Romans chapter 6. Because if we continue to read from Romans 6, verses 4, 5, and 6, portions of those verses, we see that that's really the point. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Then verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Then verse 8, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, baptized into His death. But then the next step is His resurrection. So that in our baptism we have before us as well is life, the life of Jesus Christ, which is what this is talking about, the Spirit working in us to renew us, to sanctify us. Baptism has everything to say about how we live our lives. Question 69 talks about being admonished. We talked about the assurance part in connection with the Son and His death. But what about the admonishment part? How art thou admonished by the holy baptism, the sacrament of holy baptism? In this connection, we become admonished because this is an area that we can always work on. Always can we do better fighting against sin and striving to live a sanctified life. Do we think about this? In terms of our everyday walk, young people, do you think about this? When you're with your friends and you're figuring out what you want to do and who your friends are, and all of the entertainment of this world, and all of the temptations and the allurings of the flesh that we're so prone to, do you think about this? I am baptized in the Church of Jesus Christ, in the name of the Spirit. And that means something for me. That means that I'm set apart, that I'm different. That means that I should live a certain way, as the Catechism says, that I may more and more die unto sin and lead a holy and unblameable life. And for all of us, people of God, the fact that we are baptized means the Holy Spirit plays a part in our life and determines what we should do, determines what we should not do. If we are baptized as we are, let that be reflected in the way that we live as those who more and more die unto sin and live unto Christ. The sacrament of baptism, very simple in its meaning. Washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Washing. But at the same time, very profound. In the name of the Father, He adopts us as His own, cares for us. In the name of the Son, all of His work was for us in the name of the Holy Spirit. He cleanses us, washes us, makes us holy. Excuse me. But then the next question is how? We've said some striking things about this sacrament. All of these things we said are associated with the sacrament of baptism, the washing away of sins, being God's children, being renewed by the Spirit. Question is, how does this work? And that's really the point of questions and answers 72 and 73. Is then the external washing with water the washing away of sin itself? Understand why the Catechism asks that specific question. It's totally in light of the Roman Catholic Church. The Roman Catholic Church has a very specific teaching about baptism. And what the Roman Catholic Church taught many years ago at the time this was written and still today is that with the actual water placed upon a child or a person, that itself washes away sin. The external washing with water is what actually washes away sin and sanctifies a person. And so the Catechism says, is that what's taking place here? Is that how this works? Is this how everything we talked about in the first point gets applied to us as the people of God? The answer, of course, is not at all. No, for the blood of Jesus Christ only and the Holy Ghost cleanse us from all our sin. The answer of the Catechism is clear. Of course not. It's not the water itself, so that when it's sprinkled upon the forehead of a baby, that washes away sins. This goes back to what we said last week with the primacy of the preaching of the gospel, but also with the baptism itself. It does not wash away the sins itself, but at the same time, there is power in the sacrament of baptism. Just as the writer of the epistle to the Hebrews could say that the blood of bulls and goats in the Old Testament did not wash away sin, so also do we say today the water of baptism itself does not wash away sins. I don't think that that's a danger for us. I could be wrong, but I don't think that when we witness a baptism, as we did last week, for example, we see that water and we say to ourselves, that water itself is washing away the sins of that baby baptized, as if it has some magical, special power. That's the one extreme that the Roman Catholic Church takes. I don't know if that's necessarily the danger for us as a church. But I think if we talk about this in terms of the opposite extreme, that would be our danger. And the opposite extreme is that we say the baptism does nothing and that we simply baptize our children because everyone else baptizes their children. And it's just something that we do as members of the church. But then we don't take that and recognize that there is something going on here. That there is a power to this baptism. If there's a danger for us, I think it's that. That we don't ascribe anything to the sacrament of baptism. And that's why question and answer 73 is inserted in Lord's Day 27. Because question and answer 73 gets at this basic point. It says, yes, that's well and good. The water itself does not wash away sins, but yet look at the language that the Bible uses. The language calls baptism the washing of regeneration and the washing away of sins. That's strong language. The sign, the washing, and the thing signified, regeneration, washing away of sins, are brought together. Very close connection between the sign and the thing signified, the washing of regeneration. Why, the Catechism asks, does it use that strong language? Not because the external washing washes away sins. This is why, according to the answer to question 73. The first part of the answer says it's more than teaching. God speaks thus not without great cause, to wit, not only thereby to teach us that the filth of the body is purged away by water, so that our sins are removed by the blood and spirit of Christ. It's not simply a teaching tool, symbolism per se, because it is that. It is a good teaching tool. I love to teach this in catechism because it makes sense. Water washes. The blood of Jesus Christ washes. It pictures regeneration. It does all that. It does it well. But the catechism is saying that there's more to it than that. It's this. But especially that by this divine pledge and sign, He may assure us that we are spiritually cleansed from our sins as we are externally washed with water. The point is this: there is a power in the sacrament of baptism. God works through this sacrament. It's not simply something we do to teach. It's not simply something we do because everyone else does it. But God works through this in a powerful way. He works through this in a powerful way to confirm and strengthen and to assure. And that's what God is doing when someone is baptized and when we think of our own baptism. And it has to do with the sign and the seal, the pledge. It has to do with it being visible. This past week and a half, Hurricane Sandy out east. You can read about that all that you want. And really, the words will give you a fuller description. You could read word after word describing everything about what took place in the storm out east. Thousands, thousands, millions of words describing every detail. You would get a full understanding of it. But if you see it, if you see the pictures, or actually go out there and see the damage, the reality of that becomes all the more confirmed in your heart and in your mind. You know it, that this is what took place, and this was the damage that took place. Similar to that with the sacrament of baptism, by seeing the sign, the water washed, the pledge to us, God works through that to confirm us all the more and to assure us all the more that yes, all of these things that are pictured in this sacrament that we've talked about are for me. But that will only take place if we understand that and if we think about that in these terms. When there's a baby baptized, we think about our own baptism. When we read the Scriptures about baptism, we apply that to ourselves. And through that, God works. God works all the more to assure us and confirm us in our faith. There is power in the baptism of our children and in our own baptism. God works powerfully through that. And beloved, He works that to the great end of our comfort. What's the theme of the Heidelberg Catechism? Very simply, comfort. The comfort that you and I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need that comfort. We need that comfort all of our lives long, because all of our lives long our sin rises up against us. All of our lives long the devil says to us, you're not worthy to be saved because of your sins. That's why we need the preaching of the gospel every week. That's why the preaching is primary. Every week we hear this gospel, an aspect of it. Christ is your Savior. He died for you. Salvation is yours through His blood. That's the comfort. In life and in death, I belong to Jesus. And now what God does for us with this sacrament is He gives us that comfort all the more. And He says to us as members of the church, you're baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Yes, you're a sinner. Yes, you will be a sinner until the day that you die. But receive the word of comfort pictured in the sacrament of baptism, that in life and in death, I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Father which art in heaven, we thank Thee for baptism, the sign and the seal that it is to us that we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Work powerfully in our hearts by that sacrament. Confirm us and assure us all the more when we see a baptism and when we think about our own baptism that we belong to our Savior. Forgive, O God, what was said or what was heard in sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen.